Now, princes, for the service I have done you, the advantage of the time prompts me aloud to call for recompense. Appear it to your mind that through the sight I bear in things to come, I have abandoned Troy, left my possession, incurred a traitor's name, exposed myself from certain and possessed conveniences to doubtful fortunes, sequestering from me all that time, acquaintance, custom and condition made tame and most familiar to my nature, and here to do you service and become as new into the world, strange, unacquainted. I do beseech you, as in way of taste, to give me now a little benefit out of those many registered in promise which you say live to come in my behalf.
What wouldst thou of us, Troyan? Make demand.
You have a Troyan prisoner called Antenor, yesterday took. Troy holds him very dear. Oft of you, often have you thanks therefore, desired my Cressid in right great exchange, whom Troy hath still denied. But this Antenor, I know, is such a rest in their affairs that their negotiations all must slack, wanting his manage. And they will almost give us a prince of blood, a son of Priam, in change of him. Let him be sent, great princes, and he shall buy my daughter, and her presence shall quite strike off all service I have done in most accepted pain.
Let Diomedes bear him and bring us Cressid hither. Calchas shall have what he requests of us. Good Diomed, furnish you fairly for this interchange. Withal, bring word if Hector will tomorrow be answered in his challenge. Ajax is ready.
This shall I undertake, and is a burden which I am proud to bear.
Achilles stands in the entrance of his tent. Please it our general to pass strangely by him, as if he were forgot. And princes all, lay negligent and loose regard upon him. I will come last. 'Tis like he'll question me why such unplausive eyes are bent, why turned on him. If so, I have derision medicinable to use between your strangeness and his pride, which his own will shall have desire to drink. It may do good. Pride hath no other glass to show itself but pride. For supple knees feed arrogance and are the poor man's fees.
We'll execute your purpose and put on a form of strangeness as we pass along. So do each lord, and either greet him not or else disdainfully, which shall shake him more than if not looked on. I will lead the way.
What, comes the general to speak with me? You know my mind. I'll fight no more against Troy.
What says Achilles? Would he aught with us?
Would you, my lord, aught with the general?
No.
Nothing, my lord.
The better.
Good day.
How do you? How do you?
What? Does the cuckold scorn me?
How now, Patroclus?
Good morrow, Ajax. Good morrow.
Aye, and good next day, too.
What mean these fellows? Know they not Achilles?
They pass by strangely. They were used to bend, to send their smiles before them to Achilles, to come as humbly as they used to creep to holy altars.
What? Am I poor of late? 'Tis certain. Greatness, once fallen out with fortune, must fall out with men too. What the declined is, he shall as soon read in the eyes of others as feel in his own fall. For men like butterflies show not their mealy wings but to the summer. And not a man for being simply man hath any honour, but honoured for those honours that are without him, as place, riches, and favour, prizes of accident as oft as merit, which when they fall, as being slippery standers, the love that leaned on them as slippery too, doth one pluck down another, and together die in the fall. But 'tis not so with me. Fortune and I are friends. I do enjoy an ample point all that I did possess, save these men's looks, who do methinks find out something not worth in me such rich beholding as they have often given. Here is Ulysses. I'll interrupt his reading. How now, Ulysses?
Now, great Thetis' son.
What are you reading?
A strange fellow here writes me that man, how dearly ever parted, how much in having, or without or in, cannot make boast to have that which he hath, nor feels not what he owes, but by reflection. As when his virtues, shining upon others, heat them, and they retort that heat again to the first giver.
This is not strange, Ulysses. The beauty that is born here in the face the bearer knows not, but commends itself to others' eyes. Nor doth the eye itself, that most pure spirit of sense, behold itself, not going from itself, but eye to eye opposed, salute each other with each other's form. For speculation turns not to itself till it hath travelled and is married there where it may see itself. This is not strange at all.
I do not strain at the position. It is familiar. But at the author's drift, who in his circumstance expressly proves that no man is the lord of anything, though in and of him there be much consisting, till he communicate his parts to others. Nor doth he of himself know them for aught, till he behold them formed in the applause, where they're extended. Oh, like an arch, reverberate the voice again, or like a gate of steel fronting the sun, receives and renders back his figure and his heat. I was much wrapped in this, and apprehended here immediately the unknown Ajax. Oh, heavens, what a man is there. A very horse that has he knows not what. Nature, what things there are most abject in regard and dear in use. What things again most dear in the esteem and poor in worth. Now shall we see, tomorrow, an act that very chance doth throw upon him, Ajax renowned. Oh, heavens, what some men do while some men leave to do. How some men creep in skittish fortune's hall while others play the idiots in her eyes. How one man eats into another's pride while pride is fasting in his wantonness. To see these Grecian lords, why even already they clap the lubber Ajax on the shoulder as if his foot were on brave Hector's breast and great Troy shrinking.
I do believe it, for they passed by me as misers do by beggars. Neither gave to me good word nor look.
What, are my deeds forgot?
Time hath, my lord, a wallet at his back, wherein he puts arms for oblivion, a great-sized monster of ingratitudes. Those scraps are good deeds past, which are devoured as fast as they are made, forgot as soon as done. Perseverance, dear my lord, keeps honour bright. To have done is to hang quite out of fashion, like a rusty mail in monumental mockery. Take the instant way. For honour travels in a strait so narrow where one but goes abreast. Keep then the path, for emulation hath a thousand sons that one by one pursue. If you give way or hedge aside from the direct forthright, like to an entered tide, they all rush by and leave you hindmost. Or like a gallant horse fallen in first rank, lie there for pavement to the abject rear, or run and trampled on. Then what they do in present, though less than yours in past, must o'ertop yours. For time is like a fashionable host, who slightly shakes his parting guest by the hand, and with his arms outstretched as he would fly, grasps in the comer. Welcome ever smiles, and farewell goes out sighing. Oh, let not virtue seek remuneration for the thing it was, for beauty, wit, high birth, vigour of bone, desert in service, love, friendship, charity, are subjects all to envious and calumniating time. One touch of nature makes the whole world kin, that all with one consent praise new-born gods, though they are made and moulded of things past, and give to dust that is a little gilt more lord than gilt or dusted. The present eye praises the present object. Then marvel not, thou great and complete man, that all the Greeks begin to worship Ajax, since things in motion sooner catch the eye than what not stirs. The cry went once on thee, and still it might, and yet it may again if thou wouldst not entomb thyself alive and case thy reputation in thy tent, whose glorious deeds but in these fields of late made emulous missions amongst the gods themselves, and drave great Mars to faction.
Of this my privacy I have strong reason.
But against your privacy the reasons are more potent and heroical. 'Tis known, Achilles, that you are in love with one of Priam's daughters.
Known?
Is that a wonder? The providence that's in a watchful state knows almost every grain of Pluto's gold. Finds bottom in the uncomprehensive deeps, keeps place with thought, and almost like the gods do thoughts themselves unveil in their dumb cradles. There is a mystery with whom relation durst never meddle in the soul of state, which hath an operation more divine than breath or pen can give expression to. All the commerce that you have had with Troy, as perfectly as ours, as yours, my lord. And better would it fit Achilles much to throw down Hector than Polixenus. But it must grieve young Pyrrhus now at home, when fame shall in our island sound her trump, and all the Greekish girls shall tripping sing, great Hector's sister did Achilles win, but our great Ajax bravely beat down him. Farewell, my lord. I, as your lover, speak. The fool slides o'er the ice that you should break.
To this effect, Achilles, have I moved you? A woman, impudent and mannish grown, is not more loathed than an effeminate man in time of action. I stand condemned for this. They think my little stomach to the war and your great love to me restrains you thus. Sweet, rouse yourself. And the weak, wanton Cupid shall from your neck unloose his amorous fold, and like a dewdrop from the lion's mane be shook there.
Shall Ajax fight with Hector?
Aye, and perhaps receive much honor by him.
I see my reputation is at stake. My fame is shrewdly gored.
Oh, then beware. Those wounds heal ill that men do give themselves. Omission to do what is necessary seals a commission to a blank of danger. And danger, like an ague, subtly taints even then when we sit idly in the sun.
Go, call Thersites hither, sweet Patroclus. I'll send the fool to Ajax, and desire him to invite the Trojan lords after the combat to see us here unarmed. I have a woman's longing, an appetite that I am sick withal, to see great Hector in his weeds of peace, to talk with him, and to behold his visage even to my full of view. My labor saved.
Oh, a wonder!
What?
Ajax goes up and down the field asking for himself.
How so?
He must fight singly tomorrow with Hector, and is so prophetically proud of heroical cudgelling that he raves in saying nothing.
How can that be?
Why, he stalks up and down like a peacock, astride and astand, ruminates like a hostess that has no arithmetic but her brain to set down a record, bites his lip with a politic regard, as who should say, there were wit in this head and hood out. And so there is, but it lies as coldly in him as fire in a flint, which will not show without knocking. Oh, the man's undone forever. But if Hector breaks not his neck in the combat, he'll break it himself in vainglory. He knows not me. I said, good morrow, Ajax. And he replies, thanks, Agamemnon. What do you, this man that takes me for the general? He's grown a very landfish, languageless, a monster. A plague of opinion. A man may wear it on both sides, like a leather jerkin.
Thou must be my ambassador to him, Thersites.
Who, I? Why, he'll answer nobody. Hmm? He professes not answering. Speaking is for beggars. He wears his tongue in his arms. I'll put on his presence. Let Patroclus make his demands to me. You shall see the pageant of Ajax.
To him, Patroclus. Tell him, I humbly desire the valiant Ajax to invite the most valorous Hector to come unarmed to my tent, and to procure safe conduct for his person of the magnanimous and most illustrious 6 or 7 times honored captain general of the Grecian army, Agamemnon, etc., etc. Do this.
Jove bless great Ajax. Mm. I come from the worthy Achilles. who most humbly desires you to invite Hector to his tent. And to procure safe conduct from Agamemnon.
Agamemnon?
Aye, my lord. Well, what say you to it?
God buy you with all my heart.
Your answer, sir.
If tomorrow be a fair day by 11 o'clock, it will go one way or other. Howsoever, he shall pay for me, and he has me.
Your answer, sir.
Fare you well with all my heart.
Why, but he's not in this tune, is he?
No, but his attitude, lass. What music will be in him when Hector has knocked out his brains, I know not. But I'm sure none.
Unless the fiddler Apollo get his sinews to make catlings on.
Come, I shall bear a letter to him straight.
Now, let me bear another to his horse, for that's the more capable creature.
My mind is troubled like a fountain stirred. And I myself see not the bottom of it.
Oh, would the fountain of your mind were clear again, that I might water an ass at it. I'd rather be taking a sheep than such a valiant ignorance.
See ho, who is that there?
It is the Lord Aeneas.
Is the prince there in person? Had I so good occasion to lie long as you, Prince Paris, nothing but heavenly business would rob my bed, make up my company.
That's my mind, too. Good morrow, Lord Aeneas.
A valiant Greek, Aeneas. Take his hand. Witness the process of your speech, wherein you told how Diomed in a whole week by days did haunt you in the field.
Ah, health to you, valiant sir, during all question of the gentle truce. But when I meet you armed, as black defiance as heart can think or courage execute...
The one and other Diomed embraces. Our bloods are now in calm and so long health. But when contention and occasion meets, by Jove, I'll play the hunter for thy life with all my force, pursuit, and policy.
And thou shalt hunt a lion that will fly with his face backward. Oh, inhumane gentleness, welcome to Troy. Now by Anchises' life, welcome indeed. By Venus' hand, I swear, no man alive can love in such a sort the thing he means to kill more excellently.
We sympathize. Jove, let Aeneas live. If to my sword his fate be not the glory, a thousand complete courses of the sun. But in my Nemula's honor, let him die with every joint a wound, and that tomorrow.
We know each other well.
We do, and long to know each other worse.
This is the most despiteful, gentle greeting, the noblest, hateful love that e'er I heard of. What business, Lord, so early?
I was sent for to the king, but why, I know not.
His purpose meets you. It was to bring this Greek to Calchas' house, and there to render him for the enfreed Antenor, the fair Cressid.
Oh.
Let's have your company, or if you please, haste there before us.
I constantly do think, or rather call my thought a certain knowledge. My brother Troilus lodges there tonight. Rouse him. Give him note of our approach with the whole quality whereof I fear we shall be much unwelcome.
That, I assure you, Troilus is rather Troilus born.
There is no help. The bitter disposition of the time will have it so.
On, Lord, we'll follow you. Good morrow, all.
And tell me, noble Diomed, faith, tell me true, even in the soul of sound good fellowship, who in your thoughts merits fair Helen most? Myself or Menelaus?
Both alike. He merits well to have her that doth seek her, not making any scruple of her soilure with such a hell of pain and world of charge. And you as well to keep her that defend her, not palating the taste of her dishonor with such a costly loss of wealth and friends. He, like a puling cuckold, would drink up the lees and dregs of a flat-tamed peace. You, like a lecher, out of whorish loins are pleased to breed out your inheritors. Both merits poised each ways, no less nor more, but he is he, the heavier for a whore.
You are too bitter to your countrywoman.
She's bitter to her country. Hear me, Paris. For every false drop in her bawdy veins, a Grecian's life hath sunk. For every scruple of her contaminated carrion weight, a Trojan hath been slain. Since she could speak, she hath not given so many good words breath, as for her, Greeks and Trojans suffered death.
Fair Diomed, you do as chapmen do, dispraise the thing that you desire to buy. But we in silence hold this virtue well. We'll not commend what we intend to sell.
Here lies our way.
Dear, trouble not yourself. The morn is cold.
Then, sweet my lord, I'll call mine uncle down. He shall unbolt the gates.
Trouble him not. To bed, sleep, kill those pretty eyes, and give a soft attachment to thy senses as infants empty of all thought.
Good morrow, then.
I prithee not bed.
Are you aweary of me?
Oh, Cressida, but that the busy day, waked by the lark, hath roused the ribald crows, and dreaming night will hide our joys no longer. I would not from thee.
Night hath been too brief.
With venomous whites she stays as tediously as hell, but flies the grasps of love with wings more momentary swift than thought. You will catch cold and curse me.
Prithee, tarry. You men will never tarry. Oh, foolish Cressid. I might have still held off, and then you would have tarried. Hark, there's one up.
What? All the doors open here?
It is your uncle.
A pestilence on him. Now he will be mocking. I shall have such a life.
How now? How go, maiden heads? Here you, maid. Where's my cousin Cressid?
Go hang yourself, you naughty mocking uncle. You bring me to do, and then you flout me too.
To do what? Let us say what. What have I brought you to do?
Come, pursue your heart. You'll never be good nor suffer others.
Alas, poor wretch, poor Kapokya. Oh, has not slept tonight. Would he not a naughty man let sleep, or a bugbear take him.
Did not I tell you? Woody will knock in the head. Who's there at the door? Good uncle, go and see. My lord, come you again into my chamber. You smile and mock me as if I meant naughtily. Come, you are deceived. I think of no such thing. How earnestly they knock. Pray you come in. I would not for half Troy have you seen here.
Who's there? What's the matter? Will you beat down the door? Now, what's the matter?
Good morrow, lord. Good morrow.
Who's there? Oh, Lord Aeneas, by my troth, I knew you not. Oh, what news of you so early?
Is not Prince Troilus here?
Here? What should he do here?
Come, he is here, my lord. Do not deny him. It doth import him much to speak with me.
Oh, see, I say you, 'tis more than I know, I'll be sworn. For my own part, I came in late. Oh, what should he do here?
Oh, nay then. Come, you'll do him wrong, are you aware? You'll be so true to him to be false to him. Do not you know of him, but yet go fetch him hither. Go.
How now? What's the matter?
My lord, I scarce have leisure to salute you. My matter is so rash. There is at hand Paris, your brother, and Ithamus, the Grecian Diomed, and our Antina, delivered to us. And for him forthwith, ere the first sacrifice, within this hour, we must give up to Diomede's hand the Lady Cressida.
Is it concluded so?
By Priam and the general fleet of Troy. They are at hand and ready to effect it.
How my achievements mock me. I will go meet them. And my lord Aeneas, we met by chance. You did not find me here.
Good, my lord. The secrets of nature have not more gift in taciturnity.
Is it possible? No sooner got but lost. The devil take Antina, or the young prince will go mad. A plague upon Antina, or I would they had broke his neck.
How now, what's the matter? Who's here? Why, sir, you so profoundly. Where's my lord? Gone? Tell me, sweet uncle. What's the matter?
Would I were as deep under the earth as I am above.
Oh, the gods, what's the matter?
Prithee, get thee in. Would thou hadst never been born? I knew thou wouldst be his death. Oh, poor gentleman. A plague upon Antino.
Good uncle, I beseech you on my knees. I beseech you. What's the matter?
Thou must be gone, wench. Thou must be gone. Thou art changed for Antino. Thou must to thy father and be gone from Troilus. 'Twill be his death. 'Twill be his bane. He cannot bear it.
Oh, you immortal gods, I will not go.
Thou must.
I will not, uncle. I have forgot my father. I know no touch of consanguinity. No kin, no love, no blood, no soul so near me as the sweet Troilus. Oh, you gods divine, make Cressid's name the very crown of falsehood if ever she leave Troilus. Time, force, and death, do to this body what extremes you can. But the strong base and building of my love is as the very center of the earth, drawing all things to it. I will go in and weep.
Do.
Tear my bright hair and scratch my brazen cheeks. Crack my clear voice with sobs and break my heart with sounding Troilus. I will not go from Troy.